Hi, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. You may know me as the author of The Little Red Book of Selling or The Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude. What you don't know is I'm coming to Chicago. I love Chicago. And I'm going to help you learn more to earn more, because right now we're in the biggest boom economy in a long time. And your sales are probably up, and you may erroneously think that you had something to do with it.
It's amazing. You are 100% wrong.
I'm not coming there to tell you how to have your best year ever. I'm going to help you have your best decade ever. Invest a few dollars in yourself. The dividends will last a lifetime. I'll see you there.
Hello.
There she is.
What's going on?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm not here for Gittimer. You're my celebrity crush.
Oh my God. Amazing. Yeah. I'm honored.
Don't tell my wife.
What part of go fuck yourself do you not understand?
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the premier sales and personal development podcast on the planet. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling. I'm joined today by the lovely, the talented, the amazing, and the intelligent.
Jen Gluckow. What's up, everyone? Hey, Jeffrey. How's it going?
It's going amazing, Jen. We are going to have a great show today. We have the great Jeff Shore as our main guest. He is a brilliant sales psychologist, and we're going to talk about why salespeople don't do what they're supposed to do, and if they did it, would make a pile of money. But let's talk about sales in the Sell or Die podcast,
because we've been doing
this now for about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. We are clearly the number one sales podcast at this moment. We are going to pass 90,000 downloads this month, mm-hmm. which is a pretty major
month. I mean, I think we're at more than 500,000 downloads total.
Oh yeah,
600,000.
Yeah, we'll be at 1 million. Hopefully, it might even be 1 million by the end of the year. But
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're catching on.
Yeah.
What do you think is the reason that so many people are listening to Sell or Die?
Well, I'd love to hear from our listeners, actually.
Yeah, why the hell are you listening to this anyway?
Tell us what you like about the show, but don't just tell us. Tell us on iTunes so that we can help others find the show. If you give us a 5-star review, tell us. We would love to know. But one of the things I've been hearing consistently, Jeffrey, is that we give value. And why do we give value? It's because we care. We want to help you guys. I hope you can feel it through the mic. You're listening in your car. You're listening. You're at the gym. You're going for a walk. You're waiting on a customer to meet with you. Whatever it may be, wherever you're listening from, we are doing this because we want to help you. And I think that is coming through.
Yeah.
I hope it's coming through.
But we also want to have a good time. We also want to be as funny as we possibly can be so that you will actually stay tuned listening for the next funny thing.
It's like edutainment.
Yeah. So, for example, I would walk into a sales call with a big CEO and say, well, how do you like me so far?
All right. So, actually, Jeffrey, we have this 5-star review, and we're committed to reading 5-star reviews every episode. Here is what RK Jones FL writes. I began reading Jeffrey Gittimer's work as a young salesperson in Washington, D.C. His words profoundly changed my view of professionalism and success. Almost 2 decades later, this podcast continues to remind me of my ongoing potential, as well as the potential that can be achieved by countless others. Wow.
Holy
These warm mold. My heart. They melt my heart. I love them. That's so cool. Thank
he
you, guys.
He later went on to become president of the United States.
Thank you, RK Jones FL and diehards.
Oh,
please leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah, come on. Tell me and Jen what you love about what we talk about and what you would love to hear us talk about so that we might be able to target you personally, you, and help you either win a sale or build a career.
Yeah, if there's something specific you have a question on or something you want more information on, just write a comment in the
right.
Facebook
We're
group.
Not going to answer that kind of thing.
Oh,
but
We have a Facebook group, Sell or Die. I think it's like the Sell or Die official Facebook group. And we created that because we want to engage with you. We don't want to just talk at you over this mic. Like, we literally want to have a two-sided conversation, which means you diehard, you need to chime in too.
Yeah. So, Jenny.
Yes, Jeffrey.
You're looking pretty fit. What the hell's going on?
Oh, you've noticed. Thanks. Well, I was tired of being fat.
Oh.
Like, legit. Like, I have no other way to say this. I'm not going to, like, beat around the bush. I'm from New York. I'm very direct. I just woke up one day and I was like, I am not me. Like, I'm looking at this person who's 20 pounds heavier than I'm supposed to be, and I don't like it. I don't, these pictures of me are this fat me. I don't want to be fat me. Oh, yeah. I want to be skinny me.
Yeah. You know, it's so, you know, isn't it funny? It's an insult if you call somebody fat, but if you call yourself fat, it's not an insult.
Right. You can't call me fat.
No.
But I can call myself fat. And, you know, I'm taking pictures with this amazing photographer, Julia, for my book cover, for my new website, for all this stuff.
No, and come on. How about our parachute?
Oh, and our parachute. And I'm looking at these photos and I'm like, wow, she's an amazing photographer. If only she could cut out 20 pounds.
Yeah, she ain't that amazing.
Okay. So, and I know there's Photoshop for that, but like, I don't want to be Photoshopped. I want to be real. Okay. So I decided I need a drastic change. I can't just like wish that I was skinnier.
Hold on, diehards. What would be a drastic change for you?
Yeah.
What would you consider to be drastically different for you that would make you better? Why don't you jot that down or text yourself that right away? Because a lot of you are fat. And a lot of you need you don't need a facelift, you need a sales lift. Some of you need better sales customers. Some of you need better qualified people to call on. Some of you need to prepare better for your sale. What are you doing? Jen is talking about personal fitness. I'm talking about mental and physical fitness, your sales readiness. That if you are not ready to make the sale, both mentally and physically, you are going to lose the sale to someone who is both.
And I'll tell you this, like, I felt like I was losing a part of who I am when I'm on camera because I was so concerned about, like, how fat do I actually look today?
Yeah, well, that's a self-conscious thing.
And no, but, like, I'm focusing on that instead of the content that I want to deliver to my people.
Yeah.
And it's a distraction. Just like if you're focused on the wrong things in the sale, it's a distraction.
So you walk into a CEO of a company and your first question is, does this just make my ass look big?
No, I wouldn't actually ask because it probably does. Okay, but wait. The other thing, it wasn't just about looks, Jeffrey. Like,
what
at 4 o'clock...
Yeah, you're tired. Right?
Like, I had this sugar slump. Like,
you're,
how many
you're
of
dragging
you guys,
around a spare tire.
At 4 o'clock, you feel like you're fucking exhausted.
Right.
I'm sorry if there's kids in your car, okay? I should have forewarned you.
Yeah.
But, you know, at 4 o'clock, you feel that, ugh. So here's what I did. So, A, I committed to changing my diet.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. And now at 4 o'clock, I feel great. Like, we're recording this at 4 o'clock, I think.
Maybe wait a
it's
minute.
After 4 o'clock.
Weren't you exercising at 4 o'clock this morning?
Okay. So, that's the other thing. Like, I decided I needed to incorporate exercise into my routine at least 5, but hopefully 6 or 7 days a week. I made that commitment to myself.
Okay.
And then when I made that commitment, I started to look at my calendar. And like from 8 in the morning until like, I don't know, maybe 8 at night, I'm booked. So when am I going to make the time? And it's the key here is make the time, okay, to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, let's go drastic, okay? I'm going to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and work out with this trainer 2 days a week at 5 a.m. because I know.
Not to let any cats out of the bag, Jen, but I'm well aware that you wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
Dogs are barking. At least our dogs can sleep through it. But Yeah, and you know what, though? That was the jumpstart I needed. That was exactly it. And diehards, you have to ask yourself, like, if you want to make a change, what do you need to do right now to commit and then go all in? Because I couldn't just commit. I couldn't just say, oh, I'm going to work out every morning now at 7 a.m. No, that's what, like, normal people do. I don't want to be a normal person. I want to be an ultra high performer.
You want to be an abnormal person.
I want to be, like, uber, uber, uber successful. And that takes making, like, crazy moves. And
so you
that's
take an
why,
Uber to the gym?
No, I walk or I drive.
I got you.
Okay, but, on which one I'm
but
going
here's
to.
The deal, diehards. Jen has committed to personal excellence. Mm-hmm. And she has committed to a discipline that allows her to make it happen on her own motivation, not on mine. I don't wake her up and say, hey, Jenny, you got to get up now.
No.
No, you're up and at them, and I think that's a very important part of this whole process. You have to rely on most important person in the world to be able to get this done, and that would be you.
And sometimes you're going to have, I don't know what the word would be, but like obstacles, right? Like you
want. That's a tough word to think of. Where did you get that one from?
Like you want to go to Loopy's and you want to have nachos, which Nikita described as a heart attack on a plate. But they're my favorite thing on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay. So of course I want the nachos. Like.
So I get them, and then you have to watch me eat them.
Now, instead, what did I get? I got a vegetable soup, homemade vegetable soup, and a salad. So like it took discipline, though, and it took this desire, this deep desire to want to change, to be able to do that.
So diehards, let's keep Jen's feet to the fire and get her to report how many pounds she has lost from week to week.
Let's do it on a monthly basis.
Wait. What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
We're holding Jen's feet to the diehards.
Listen.
I love it.
Okay, listen. I am so more than happy to be held accountable. I'll post in that Facebook group, announce it on
our
show.
But I'm happier that Nada joined in.
But I have a monthly check-in with my trainer, and when I have those stats every month,
okay,
I'll be happy to announce them.
Cool.
Because you know what? I think it's cool that you guys are on this journey with me.
We are. We have to be, because we hear about it every fucking day.
More importantly, if you want to be motivated by Jen, I would highly suggest following her on Instagram. Woo-hoo! At Jen in Any Minute.
Thank you, Nada.
Agreed.
I am posting like crazy in my stories. It's so much fun.
She's Instagramming Facebook stories on a daily basis, giving and getting interaction. And it's pretty interesting, actually. Sometimes it's about Charlie.
Yeah, well,
no, most of the time it's about Charlie.
No, it's about health and wellness. There's five main categories they try to focus on.
Don't do sales. A story about me.
Okay, I'll tell you my five, right? It's sales and selling tips, strategies, that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Which includes like business and podcast stuff,
mm-hmm.
Jeffrey and family,
mm-hmm.
our dogs,
mm-hmm.
like, obviously, New York and Paris, because like, why not? I love those
exactly.
two things. And then health and wellness.
So if you're a diehard and you're looking for, well, what can I tell a story about? Jen just gave you five things. And what you need to do is incorporate your family, incorporate your career, incorporate your own health and wellness, and come up with a story on an everyday basis that someone would actually look at or comment on. Put some audio in there and put some video in there and make it happen in a way that it becomes attractive enough for somebody to say to somebody else, hey, you got to see this.
Yeah, it's the amount of engagement I've gotten in the past week since I've really went all in with that too, by the way, is amazing. It's tenfold. It's 10x. Like, it's crazy.
So let's get to our guest today.
Yes.
Our guest is the great Jeff Shore. Now, it sounds, his name spells just like it sounds, S-H-O-R-E. He is the founder and president of Shore Consulting, a company that specializes in psychology-based sales training programs. You're going to find this both interesting and informative. I think you're also going to find it monetizable. So, diehards, listen up for the great Jeff Shore.
All right, please help us welcome the great Jeff Shore.
Holy smokes, are you from the shore or are you from the inland?
Gee, I don't think I've ever heard that joke before. Although I will tell you, at one point, if you call my voicemail, I would just say, "Hey, you can stop paddling because you've reached the shore." And
I like that. That's funny. It's so corny. It's almost funny.
They get past the laughter until before they could leave a message.
I'm sure they were howling their asses off. My voicemail used to be, "Please leave your American Express card number and that pesky expiration date," and I'll get right back. And people would leave it.
Pretty trusting.
Yeah. So anyway, you're a sales expert. We are sales experts. This is going to be an expert interview.
This is exciting.
Well, one of the reasons I'm interested in talking to you is that your philosophy is very much in harmony with ours, in that you're more concerned with how someone buys than you are in how to sell.
Yeah.
And 99.9% of the people who do what we do focus on how to sell. And I do myself, because people don't always understand the philosophy or the strategy, but I'm more about why people buy. What have you found in your experience that separates you from the others with respect to your philosophy?
Well, I think you and I agree on this. We've never had this conversation, but I assume you and I are going to agree that when some sales trainer says, "Here's a script, just say this. And, you know, just so you know, when you say this, your buyer will say this." That would work if we took all of our buyers through buyer training at the same time.
Exactly.
But short of that, that's not the way it works. I think sometimes we actually have to use our own brain and our own personality. Go figure that. So to me, it's just eminently more interesting to study the way that somebody wants to buy and then reverse engineer to make it easy. Because as I know you love to say over and over again, and I could not agree more, people don't like to be sold. They really love to buy. That you're known for that. And I think that's really, really true. So if I'm going to say, how do I make it easy for you to do what you want to do anyway, then everybody wins.
How do you go about getting that information? What's the pathway for you to uncover that?
It's such a great question. This is a really good time to be alive if you're interested in what you and I are interested in, because the research right now is evolving so quickly and it's so profound. But on both sides, the whole field of behavioral economics and decision making psychology is relatively recent. It's really something that we've just over the last 20 years have really started to understand. But now you've got researchers who are hooking people up to functional MRI and literally reading the mind and figuring out what part of the brain is functioning at the time a decision is made. And so now when you have the combination of the neurosciences and the behavioral economics coming together, that's what's really, really cool. So for me, you know, there's no question. I think I read everything Zig ever wrote, but today it's Daniel Kahneman, the Nobel Prize winner, the founder of behavioral economics. Pure genius. And if the guy wrote the phone book, I would read it.
And does that intersect with artificial intelligence as well?
I think it's intersecting with, it's a sort of evolving thing into artificial intelligence, because the best form of artificial intelligence will be that which mirrors the human brain. But we have to understand more about the way the human brain works in order to fully understand how artificial intelligence will take its place.
So you're studying the mind of the buyer, essentially. Yeah. And what are you learning about why people are making buying decisions
I know one thing. They're a bunch of cheap bastards. does that come up in your research?
Well, yes, it does, as a matter of fact. Because the number one job of the brain is to keep us alive, right? This is Psych 101, right? It's just the brain is a self-protective mechanism. And so it's always looking for ways to protect itself. And because of that, whether they're going to buy or not is the starting point, because that status quo bias causes people to look at it and say, what I have right now is my baseline. Anything different than that represents a change, and there's a natural fear of that change. So a great salesperson takes away the fear by saying, right now, your present is concrete, your future is abstract, but if I can bring some concrete into your future, it makes it so much easier for you to buy, because you can see into your future and you feel good about that.
Let me give you some information, diehards. What Jeff Shore is saying is that if you try to find out why the customer is buying, if you try to understand what their buying motives or their buying circumstances are, you will eliminate the common objection, because you as a salesperson are rattling on about your crap and they don't care about your crap, much less you. And what happens is you hit those sales barriers because you haven't found out what their motive is. If you find out why they want to buy, that will trigger an actual agreement rather than run into some kind of stumbling block like, I want to think about it, or your price is too high, or we already have a satisfactory supplier.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, but just a few months ago, my wife and I bought a new mattress, and we went to four different stores, and the first three stores, all the same. Can I help you? What brought you out today? Well, you know, we were thinking about maybe buying a mattress. Go figure that. You know the story, right?
Yeah.
And then what do they say? We got mattresses all over the place. Please feel free to lie down on any of them and let me know if you have any questions. And it wasn't until we got the fourth, who was not interested in what we were moving to. They were interested in what we were coming from. And when they understood the backstory, then the front story rolled out right in front of them, and they made that sale in about 20 minutes, and we couldn't have been happier.
Totally cool. In other words, you found out what their history was.
Yeah.
Why did they buy before?
Sure.
How uncomfortable is this mattress right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you bring your credit card?
Right, right. Well, listen, let's just do this right real quick. Jeffrey, be the salesperson in a mattress store. You know, I know you're not going to ask me what brought you out today or how can I help you.
Well, oh, I was just going to ask that.
Right.
So the first thing I'm going to say is, Jeff, how many hours a night do you sleep?
As many as I can, but so, not as many as I'd like.
Give me an estimate. Eight.
I would say I'm a seven hour guy.
Okay, so approximately a third of your life is spent in the bed.
Yes, right.
And that is actually the recharge station for the other 14 or the other 18. Is that true?
Like you. That's true. Yes.
If you don't get a good night's sleep, you're in trouble the next morning, right?
Yeah, although I would say for me, that's maybe a little more true because I spend about 150 nights a year in a hotel bed.
Aha.
So that home bed is probably more important to me than it is.
Okay, you guys, take a look at that information. This is what we just found out.
That's major.
This is
going
to get us to the next point.
That's major.
So when you get home, you're looking for that, ha, 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 oh, yeah, my bed. And let me tell you, just as an aside, I know exactly the feeling. We have the best bed in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, Jeff, that you're really looking for best, not second best. Is that fair?
You were right on both sides. When I lie down on my bed, I want it to be a 3-minute process before I'm done sinking. If you have a bed made of marshmallows, I'm in.
Okay, cool. But we do. We happen to have those. Do you like roasted marshmallows or?
But just pause for a second.
Yeah.
This so often does not happen in mattress stores because the salesperson is not asking these types of questions, and they're just asking where you want to go. Like, go look at these beds. Do you want to try them out? And then you're disengaged with them. Look how engaged you are.
I would, as a mattress salesperson, have a bag of marshmallows with me. and I would
just
like
to, in case Jeff walks
in. No, I would offer up a couple. Would you like to eat a couple of these while we're testing out the mattresses?
Yeah, right.
Now
right.
I have you completely emotionally engaged and with humor.
And in a sugar high.
Yeah, I'm all in.
So
but I'll tell you, the salesperson at the mattress store where we bought asked me a really great question very early in the process. And he said, tell me about the mattress that you have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, we love our mattress. Love, love, love. We've had it for about 3 years. It's a great mattress. And right from the very beginning, if you have even half a brain in your head.
You say, what brand is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
There's got to be a follow-up question.
Why are you getting a new bed?
Yeah. Why are you getting a new bed?
And in our case, that's exactly what he asked us. And I said, well, here's the situation. We just did a big remodel in our master bedroom. We moved a wall. We moved our old bed back in. It's too small. We found out we're the only people in California who's still sleeping on a queen size bed.
Ah.
It's too small, but it's perfect in every way.
You didn't tell me you're a cheap bastard. Now I understand everything. Okay. So.
Oh, yeah,
I'll go to that edge. Most salespeople will not.
No, you're absolutely right.
Okay, but you want a bigger bed, and you're in luck. We have either a king or what's known as a California king.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can make the decision because I'm going to show you four beds.
Yeah.
Only four because now I know what you want.
Yes.
I'm going to show you a model that is superior, and I'm going to show you a model that's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah,
and you can make the decision between the two. And I'm assuming that you, Mrs. Shore, are actually going to make the decision, and your husband's just going to give a recommendation. Is that is that fair?
Of course.
Okay,
but
cool.
I'll tell you what you just now. Let's go back to what we were talking about earlier here, because this is so important. When, if you think about this from the buyer's perspective and the psychology of a purchase decision, there are actually literally thousands, maybe even millions of decisions that are being made all the time, most in our non-conscious brain.
Right. Do I like this guy?
Right.
Do I believe this guy?
Critical decision. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. So I'm going through this process. I have too many decisions to make. And so I rely on decision-making shortcuts. Psychologists call these heuristics. These are biases and perceptions that I have when I walk into an environment in the first place. So one of those biases, one of those shortcuts that I take is the concept that easy equals right. The easier something seems to me, mm-hmm. the righter it feels to me. So when you just said, we're not gonna look at any of these other mattresses over here. We're gonna look at three. And the reason we want to look at three is because you'll be able to see this and the superior, like you were just saying. And you just complimented the easy equals right. Now what's happening in my mind as a consumer.
Right. And this guy knows what I want.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the most important thing. So yes. I'm going to ask you, we're going to do a blind sit down and lay down.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what the brand is or what the price is. I'm going to ask you which one you prefer.
Right.
Because in the end, if it's $200 one way or the other and you get another 50% sounder sleep, what do you care about a couple hundred bucks?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do. And Mrs. Shore, I want to make sure you love this, not like this. I want to make sure you love this, because if you love it, you're going to brag to other people and more people will come in my door.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it.
I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
So did you buy a bed?
We did. And we bought we ended up buying the second most expensive mattress in the store. I actually wanted the most expensive mattress, but I settled for Karen, who preferred the second most. But that's exactly what happened. We didn't make a price decision. We made a comfort decision.
Or a quality decision. One of those
two things. Exactly.
And of course, you want the best one and your wife wants the second best one. And your decision was very easy. Okay, honey.
Exactly. Whatever. Right. Well, listen, I love them both, so it was all good. But
did you get the kind? By the way, hang on one second. Did you get the kind that rise up and go down?
No. We didn't.
That's our next one. We're going to get rise up, go down.
But to your point, you said something really interesting. You said we're not going to talk about the brand. We're not going to talk about the price. We're just going to have you lie down and see what that's like.
Right.
One of the things that I teach is that when people are going to buy, again, when we're thinking about the way they make a decision, there's this hidden formula in their own brain. That they take their current dissatisfaction, whatever's wrong with their life right now, and they multiply it by the future promise of what they want their life to look like, and that has to be greater than the combination of cost and fear. Okay, so current dissatisfaction times future promise has to be greater than cost and fear. Well, if the current dissatisfaction is sky high, and it is, or I wouldn't be in the mattress store in the first place.
Hello.
And if the future promise is sky high because I'm lying down, how much work do I have to do on the cost and fear? And so often salespeople want to say, let me show you how we can get that price down right from the very beginning before we've maximized their current dissatisfaction and before we've maximized the future promise. And when you get to the price first, you're screwed. It's over.
Salespeople, when they get trained, aren't usually taught about the psychology behind why people are buying. What are some of the other things that you teach? Because I find this fascinating.
Yeah, well, when you look at that idea of those heuristics, those are those decision-making shortcuts that we're going to take. One of them is that easy equals right. There's a flip side, a negative flip side to that, that says a confused mind says no. The more confused I am, the quicker it is for me to say no. I'm going to hit the abort button. I'm going to get out of this deal in a hurry. So there's another shortcut that we see customers take on a regular basis.
They still want it. Listen, they still want it, just not from you.
Right. They're just confused with you, and they're saying no to you.
Right.
Yes.
You wouldn't take yes for an answer.
Right. Exactly. That's absolutely right. We see that happen all the time because a salesperson just got out of product training school, and here it is, right? Everything that you never wanted to know about the product coming at you, whether you like it or not. Yeah.
So I did a thing for a golf club company. And so I go to retail stores to try to buy a set of golf clubs. And everyone said the same thing. Can I help you? And I said, yeah, I'm looking for a set of clubs. And they go, steel or graphite? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea.
And the guy said, congratulations, I feel stupid now. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Right. And then he says, well, let me show you what's on sale.
Yeah.
And then I look around the golf store and I see all the brand names on the wall, Ping and Callaway and you know, whatever.
Right.
I don't want that. I want to take five strokes off my score.
Yeah.
So why don't they have a sign that says minus five strokes, minus three strokes, and put it in terms of me rather than the bullshit of trying to brand something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. And I would absolutely buy that. If it said minus five strokes, I'd be all over
it. Of course.
Yeah. This is the old idea. They're not buying a shovel. They're buying a hole. That's what we're talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So now that we've got down to the hole part, because they're buying a hole when they buy a drill too.
Yeah.
What do you think needs to take place in order to change the sales training mindset and get off of the product and get onto the reasons that they want to buy it?
Yeah. Well, I do think that there has to be a greater shift of taking what we are learning, what psychologists, what neuroscientists are learning right now that's all holed up in the academic world. And we got to find a way to make that more accessible to more salespeople. But the greatest shift is one that says, how do we learn first the way that somebody wants to buy and then figure out the way they want to sell? That's why I'm so excited to be able to do what it is that I do, because it's not like I'm in, you know, like I'm the first guy that ever thought of this, but I do.
No, I thought of it way before you did.
but I do want that to be my mark over time. I want to be able to look at it and say, how do I connect people back into their buyers? So it's really going to come down to that level of understanding, and unfortunately, what that means is we have to let go of some really bad habits that are very hard to let go of. So, you know, my specialty industry is real estate. Well, across the United States at the time of this recording, real estate is red hot. So salespeople believe that their technique is working.
Mm-hmm. No, right. Their sales are up and they erroneously think they had something to do with it.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, I got the nice suit. I'm driving a BMW. Oh, sure, the market's helping, but it's mostly me.
Right.
So you have these big market corrections that suddenly expose you don't know anything about your customer and your customer's now making you pay for it.
I would also challenge you that 20 years ago when this thing was, when the real estate market was equally as hot and it crashed in 2008, None of those brilliant real estate people had one email address.
You are absolutely right about that, because why? I mean, look,
what do I need to for? I'm making money.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, exactly. You know, oh, you want to buy a house. Oh, that's cute. My assistant will put you on the list and we'll get right back to you. Yeah, that's just sort of the air. And then, by the way, in 2008, here comes, now the market's drastically shifted by 2008. So here comes that same buyer who was thoroughly abused in 2006, walking into an open house or a new home sales office going, yeah, I didn't see any cars out in the parking lot. How long is your waiting list? No, just kidding. I got a question for you. Who is your daddy?
Right, exactly.
Right. And they learned this very arrogance from salespeople. So it's problematic. There's no question about it.
So,
what do you think is the most difficult industry to get inside the mind of the buyer? Like, if I'm a salesperson, what's the hardest industry to actually understand my buyer?
funeral plot sales.
Ooh. How come?
I'm going to say medical pills and, you know, pharmaceuticals. Going to a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. I could go either way, but I think we're thinking the same way. And the core of this is because the customer doesn't want to deal with their situation, right? Mm. They would rather just live their happy life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I say funeral sales, because I've met those salespeople, that's their job. They sell plots in advance, but you got to get people to ask some really tough questions about their life in order to get them interested in your product. And
right.
A lot of people just don't want to do it.
On the other hand, the doctor's already done the research and he knows everything, and the pill sales guy's an idiot.
Sure.
Okay, but if they're showing up to the funeral plot place, they're thinking about buying.
Well, listen, there are two ways to buy a funeral plot. One is because something horrible just happened in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what we would call a buying signal, right?
I mean, exactly.
But what we're talking about is, let's plan for 20 years into your future, or maybe 5 weeks into your future, because let's face it, we don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I'm talking
about.
The
hole will be ready because we bought a shovel.
Yes. In advance.
Bingo.
We planned that much in advance. So, yeah, but that speaks to what we were talking about earlier. Current dissatisfaction times future promise have to be greater than cost and fear. If you don't really feel any need right now, your current dissatisfaction is very low. We call those people non-buyers. You have to have some sort of dissatisfaction, either now or a future dissatisfaction, that's going to serve as a motivator to get you to want to move forward on anything at all.
And let me clarify something, because that's actually a brilliant statement. And I hate to tell you that's a brilliant statement right to your face. But most of the manipulators on the planet want to try to, quote, find the pain.
Yeah.
And dissatisfaction is a lot more of an understanding statement. Mm-hmm. You know, why are they dissatisfied, not what pains them?
Yeah.
And you're actually getting to the emotional part of the process, but because you weren't really totally dissatisfied. You had a bed that you loved. It just wasn't big enough.
Right. Right, absolutely.
But there was a level of dissatisfaction.
Well, what he claimed, listen, this was the claim. Their new bedroom was bigger than their old bedroom.
I heard it.
I know, but that's not the truth. The truth is that he's just putting on weight, and he doesn't fit in his bed like he used to.
Oh, man.
Hey, now. Easy there.
It's interesting. If you take diehards, if you take the last 3 to 5 big things you've purchased, think about why you've purchased them.
Exactly.
You know, what was your level of dissatisfaction with what you currently had?
Because your level of dissatisfaction to buy a new car might be your old car is just old.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt you in any way. You loved it. Right. You had probably the nickname for it, Old Betsy or something. And and you went back to the same dealer to try to get a deal. There's no pain involved.
Yeah.
You just wanted a new car.
But you know what we're talking about right here, and I think since we're talking about cars, it's very appropriate. We think that urgency is about, you know, one at this price and offer good through Tuesday and, you know, whatever it's going to be.
Right.
The greatest sense of urgency is dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Right. The greatest, I don't know if I'll ever get famous for this quote, but let me just try it right now. The greatest motivation to buy new shoes is when you notice that your sock is wet.
Right. That's it will not get you famous.
Or if you're a girl, your heel has come off.
Right.
Yes. Right.
For those of you who are poo-pooing our car bitching, go to YouTube and Google the Sales Badger commercials.
And then go check out Carvana.
Yeah. But the Sales Badger commercials tell you that for 100 years, car salespeople have been pissing off customers.
Yeah.
And the best, you were just talking about the fact that this guy offers the price. He goes, well, we're going to think about it. Well, it won't be here when you get here tomorrow. We're going to sell it right out from under you. They don't even understand.
I got another couple on the line, but I like your style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're our guy. You're the kind of customer we want to do business with. If you just press hard here, 3 copies. So
no, there's no doubt about it. That sense of this is, again, going back to the buyer psychology, that sense of dissatisfaction, sometimes it rises over time because our life grows away from our car gets whatever it is. But then there are trigger events. And trigger events happen in life. You know, your car gets totaled, or the wrong neighbors move in, or you know, something just happens. It's a health issue. Whatever the product is, man, if you can find that trigger event, you see that dissatisfaction. Suddenly, that line takes a hockey stick turn on you.
Yep.
And that dissatisfaction shoots up. If you can pinpoint, so for me with the mattress, it was the moment we moved our bed back into the room and went, this bed's getting swallowed up by the wall. If you can figure out the trigger event, you're going to be able to vault that process forward, all to your customer's benefit.
So how do you recommend our diehards go about that? How do they find
especially
the
when their training
event?
Flies in the face of it.
Yeah. The very first thing is it starts in the mindset. 98% of salespeople out there are more interested in what you're moving to than what you're moving from. So that's the first mindset.
Say that again.
98% of salespeople are more interested in what you're moving to than what you're moving from.
Got it.
So if you can figure out where they're coming from, so go back to car sales. The most important piece of information I have right now, that I could possibly have right now, what are you driving and why is it not working for you? If I can figure that out first, then it forms the foundation for every decision that you're going to make going forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's where it has to start. If I don't understand the very motivation that brought them through the door in the first place, to me, the most important question in all of sales is not, would you like to buy it? It's why are you here? Why are we talking? If I can get that much figure out, the why, that would you like to buy it is the easy part of the conversation. But we're so stuck with, you know, what's features and what's your price point and what's your time frame and financing that we've missed that major, major step. And when we do that, it's over. Now you're right back to what you were talking about, Jeffrey. What is steel or graphite? Five scores less. That's what I want. Five holes less. Yeah.
So you should tweet that. It's not what you're moving to. It's what you're moving from. I love that.
I really like
that's
that
tweetable.
Too. So if I was selling a car and someone came in and I greeted them, I would stop them and say, hey, if you could have any car in this place, what would it be? And they would go, and they give an answer. And I say, come on, let's take it for a drive.
Yeah, but that's what you're moving to. What Jeff is saying is let's find out what you have and what you're moving from.
I can find that out because when they're behind the wheel, that's tactile ownership. And I can get them at that point to say, okay, so I forgot to ask you a couple of questions. What were you thinking about when you got here? And tell me about your car that exists right now. How many miles do you have on it? Because that's what I really want to know. Have they driven it into the ground, or are they changing it every 2 years?
Yep. The key here is that you've got to get both of those factors. Future promise, what I want my life to look like, and current dissatisfaction, what's wrong now. When those things are maximized, that's what propels us to move forward.
And I'm going to add, that customer has to be relaxed in order to be able to give you that information. And that's why I said, let's take a drive.
Yeah. Well, listen, this is why, you know, when Robert Cialdini wrote his book on Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion, you know, one of the key aspects, and this, again, falls into the idea of mental shortcuts that our buyers take. If I like you, look, can I sell to somebody who doesn't like me? Yes. Is it way harder? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is a specific link between whether I like you and whether I trust you, which is interesting to me. That should not exist. There shouldn't be a link between like and trust, but it's a mental shortcut that customers will give us the doubt on. They'll give us the benefit of the doubt on. So if I'm looking at it, I'm just saying, hey, I'm not trying to be, you know, schmoozy and schmarmy about this. I'm just like being my best self for a little bit. So now when I ask the questions, they're much more willing to be open and honest and to share the answers.
Keep this in mind, diehards. They ain't going to trust you until they like you.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
It's very hard to trust somebody you don't like.
Yeah.
Very, very hard. And Jeffrey, I know you and I hear this from time to time. I don't care if they like me. I just wanted to buy from me. And I'm like, yeah, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, maybe. Thanks.
You know, also never really hear, well, I don't trust them, but I like them.
Right. So we actually are over our allotted time for you.
This has been amazing.
You've been a pretty damn good guest, I hate to tell you. because usually my competitors, I like to just hate them.
We're not competitors. There's plenty of business out there, Jeffrey. You know that.
See, that's the California.
I knew that would tweak you.
Yeah,
I knew
in New York, first we stab you in the stomach, and then we...
And then you rummage around for loose change.
Exactly. Oh, and then while, as you're falling down, we take your wallet.
No, this has been amazing. Thank you for coming on our show, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's my pleasure. And thank you for all you do.
How do people find you?
Where can people find out more?
Yeah. Everything is available through jeffshore.com. That's where you'll find the podcast, the books, whatever. It's all jeffshore.com.
Cool. All right.
And we will find you there. And if you wouldn't mind, you're writing a new book. Just briefly talk about what it is.
Yeah, it's all about sales follow-up. It's about what happens after the customer says no, and how we continue that relationship, continue everything that we have done, and not, hey, just checking in, if you made a decision, that's ridiculous. There's a better way to do this. How do we extend the conversation? How do we extend the relationship? And so we'll have that out in about 3 months from now.
So go to Amazon and pre-buy it.
Yeah, it's not listed yet. It'll be there soon.
Okay,
but so go to Amazon and buy any other Jeff Shore book.
There you go.
Jeff Shore, amazing person, and totally respect this interview. Jeff Shore was damn good and on the money. I actually loved interviewing the guy and listening to the guy. I think that there are a lot of shortcuts now that people realize they can take, mental shortcuts.
Mm-hmm,
He also told you that your customer is going to take mental shortcuts.
Yeah, and a lot of this is based on how much they like you, which we know is one of the key tenets of stuff you teach and really a key tenet of sales.
So I would go back and re-listen to this because this guy makes sense and makes money. And if you want to do the same, this is probably right up your alley.
And after you listen to that, I love the cha-ching. After you listen to that, tomorrow we have the best of. It comes out every Friday, the best of on Friday. So if you missed an episode this week, tune into that.
And be back for Motivation Monday.
That's right. We will be here. I don't want to date this, but we will be here for Labor Day Monday on Facebook.
And we will be live.
Oh, yeah.
And we may not be here in the studio. There's a clue.
Ooh, where will we be?
I'm not telling. It will not be at the Eiffel Tower, I can tell you that.
All right. Au revoir,
I can tell you that you're going to have a healthy, happy weekend. And hopefully, when you get back to work on Tuesday, something will have spurned you to the idea that you'll be able to turn it into money. This is Jeffrey Gittimer, signing off and reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Since this is a podcast, which means for a lot of you, you don't get a chance to see us.
That's why you should follow us on Instagram. I'm at Gittimer. Jen is at Jen in any minute, all one word.
We post pictures of our travel, behind the scenes of the podcast, and of course, sales wisdom. If you're not on Instagram, we just gave you one great reason to join.
So follow us today, and you might get a shout out on our next Motivation Monday show.
At Gittimer, at Jen in any minute, we'll see you on the gram.
Is gram one of those words that if you're cool, you use gram instead of Instagram?
Now it is. I would say we'll see you on Insta.
Yeah, I would say gram. You say Insta, I say gram.